Hey gang, Sean Geek here.
And Fast Fret.
And we have two storefronts. If you are a TeePublic fan, you can browse our inventory over at TeePublic, which is teepublic.com/Sean Geek Podcast.
Or redbubble.com/people/Sean Geek Podcast.
You can get anything from either storefront, from t-shirts, stickers, phone cases, accessories of all kinds. We're talking masks, notebooks, mugs, pillows, totes, tapestries.
Oh my.
Oh my. Everything's there. Just go to those addresses. Also check the show notes and help support the show. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Welcome to the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. Done.
Well done. Okay, we're going to use that. Yeah, sorry, we just... I think Todd and I right now with our show, we're just so freaking casual. We just show up, we talk, and then it's like, oh, okay, we have an episode. That's how things work. So this, nice. This is probably more rehearsed than we've done in a while.
It's a weird format. It's almost like, hey, let's all go to Robin's Donuts or wherever, and we'll just gab. So that's kind of what it's like.
Well, that'll be a tough one. I don't think there's many Robin's Donuts out there anymore.
No.
Five.
Five
left.
Yeah.
Is there five? That's more than I thought. I thought there was like one or two.
Yeah, but they may not be in Winnipeg, though. Like that.
Oh, true. Five total. That's Manitoba.
Yeah.
Manitoba or in Canada.
Manitoba.
Yeah.
Disappearing gems. I love me a Robin's Donuts.
You do? Are you a Robin's fan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Same.
The coffee was really good.
Oh, it's night and day with Tim Hortons.
And what was the difference, really? Was it the donuts? I think they made fresh donuts where Tim Hortons, they were frozen.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the difference?
That is true.
Yeah.
And then Tim Hortons lost their license, right? Like when they got sold to whatever that American company was, they sold their coffee recipe or whatever you want to call it. And then McDonald's bought it. So McDonald's coffee is actually Tim Hortons coffee now.
So, it's crazy.
That's true, yeah. McDonald's coffee is definitely pretty decent.
McDonald's has stepped up their game big time. Their coffee game, anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's the only game they stepped up was coffee.
Right here or what?
I don't know. My buddy at work was eating one of those chicken Big Macs the other day, and I was like,
ooh.
No, man. No. No,
that sounds awful.
I can't get behind that. And the chicken patty itself looked like a fillet of fish. It was like square and like it didn't look like a chicken shaped patty, man. I was like, that is highly suspect.
I don't think it's supposed to be shaped like a chicken.
But it's supposed to be shaped like a fillet of fish.
They use the same stamp, they just save money that way.
Yeah.
If you're getting fish from McDonald's, then you got other issues. Your life choices are not lining up.
What they do is they use the same meat mold, you know.
Yeah. I remember when I used to work this job where we'd always go for lunch before we it was like a door-to-door crew for MTS, and we used to always go up for lunch before hitting the streets and knocking doors. And whenever we went to McDonald's, we had one guy who had to ask the guys where the filet-o-fish, like what kind of fish it was. And one of the funniest answers we got, I think it was always like cod or haddock or something like that. But one guy, we just heard someone yell from the back. They were like, McDonald's fish.
It's grown in the bathtub in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Clear the press.
Yeah, clear the press.
Actually, it's not that bad, the filet of fish. I've had it.
You've had it?
Years ago. I don't know what it's like now, but
so
doesn't it have cheese on it?
It was flaky. No, cheese. tartar sauce. Okay.
Yeah, they got the tartar sauce.
I thought it comes with a slice of processed cheddar cheese on it. I'm like, that just, I can't do fish and cheese. I don't think that mixes.
I think people add the cheese, but they're crazy. Is what they are.
Yeah.
Well, it's square, so they figured it goes together, right?
Yeah. Gotta keep that more shape.
The same shape goes together.
There's even square little pickle bits in the tartar sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. The tartar sauce.
You gotta use the square pickles, not the round ones.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
There we go, bud.
I'm not technologically advanced, man. I'm like, look at me. I'm old, man. Right?
Yeah, we hear you.
I fake it. I just shave everything. Everybody thinks I'm 20 years younger. When I let my shit grow in, then people are like, holy fuck, what happened to you?
Maybe I should shave everything off, right?
I don't know. It looks pretty cool. You've got the...
I don't think you can lose the beard, man.
The bass player from Big Sugar, the old guy? Like, he's not around anymore, but that guy, he had the full gray, and he looked badass as shit. Like, he just looked cool as fuck. Like, honestly.
I'm not sure, man, but he was a good big bass player for sure.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was phenomenal. All right,
band secret that Darren actually dyes that gray. He's actually 25.
I just got out of high school, really.
So is this your career of choice?
Yeah. I'm just, just riding the wave, man,
Yeah.
Just so you don't get carded at the liquor store.
No, I get my wife, like in the old days, pre all the security they get at the liquor store, I would get not carded, but they're like, are you buying alcohol for the woman with you? That I'm like, that's my wife. My wife looks really young for some reason. She's just got this like gene in her that like she looks like in her 20s. And they're like, are you buying liquor for this young lady? Like, my wife?
Well, they let her in the store, right? So they can't think she's a minor.
Yeah, well, true. Anyway, we get everybody here. So is this? So you guys are called Pure Entry, as opposed to the Unpure Entry, which is the other band that plays in the punk scene there.
Exactly. What do you guys? Rough Outry.
Rough. So is this? Now, I haven't seen a music video or anything. So is this, we're missing somebody, right?
We're missing the drummer right now. He actually just messaged, he woke up with some sort of allergic reaction. So he is not going to be able to attend.
Okay. Allergy to public speaking. I get it.
Yeah. Shellfish. I don't know.
Shellfish?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. He said he woke up with a rash on his forehead or something. I don't know.
No, that's fine. So... based on Darren's picture when he came in here. So you're obviously the bass player.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes? What else do you do?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, like sometimes I play good, sometimes I don't, right? Sometimes I play it, sometimes, I kind of fake it.
Nice.
Sometimes you got it.
We got Brian, Yeti on the mic.
That's right.
Is that your stage name, Yeti on the mic, or is that just like another thing?
Yeti, I think.
Yeti. It's my like alter ego persona when I'm rapping. It's the Yeti, aka Yeti Van Halen, aka Yeti on the mic.
Nice. Nice.
And just a little thing I've developed over the years, writing rhymes and stuff, and I think it's translated well over into the group and the band.
Nice. Darren, you're going to have to come up with an alias, I think.
Well, we all kind of followed suit with some aliases. Yeah, Darren is the Norseman.
Bjorn Norseman.
Bjorn Norseman, yeah.
I love it. And what about you, Dave? What do you? I know what you do, but you tell the audience what you do.
Well, I'm vocals. The singing side of the vocals and guitar, and my persona is the Red Rhino.
Nice.
Oh,
but my favorite is Alex the Merman. Yeah. Merman drums.
The merman on the drums. The
crowd.
Yeah. He does the double kick with his flippers.
Yeah. Talks the fish.
Dave, you need to grow your beard like everyone else.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that way they can really see the red coming out of your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine gets really unruly. I can't, it's not as groomed as Darren's. The more I grow it, the more it seems to be like just like almost curly. It's weird.
It just kind of has a mind of its own.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's untamed.
Embrace, I said, not as groomed as Darren and Brian.
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah.
No, Brian, yours get pretty, well, yours gets pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
Darren looks like he combs his for an hour in the morning.
I wake up this way, man.
That's bullshit.
I believe it.
I believe it. I was just blessed.
Blessed with your gene.
Blessed with Zeus's flow, man.
Zeus's flow.
Now there's a name, Zeus. Fucking Zeus pounding the thunder. Jesus Christ, that's awesome.
Well, fuck, I guess we missed something there, right?
Oh, shit, we missed an opportunity.
We went with the Norse, not the Greek, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Norse is still cooler, maybe.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I'm not much for the Greek. I think the Norse has just a better iconography. Boy. Anyway.
I think you just invented a word there.
Yeah, I might have. I think I do every week. So
nice.
So where did Pure Entry come from? How did the four of you decide to do this?
Well, me and Alex used to be in Awaiting the Answer. He was the last.
That was okay.
Alex was the last drummer we had. Then COVID hit and we really didn't jam for a while, and then we got back to jamming, and we lost Smalley.
Yeah,
as our bass player, we tried to keep things alive with Awaiting the Answer, but it just wasn't happening anymore. I'd kind of lost, I don't know, just the want to do that kind of metal.
Yeah,
I've always been kind of a rock guy myself. I was kind of faking it till I make it with the whole metal thing anyways. And I asked Alex if he wanted to start a new project going more on a kind of groove rock feel. And he was into it. So we started jamming together. And then we brought Brian in. I asked him what he thinks about, you know, infusing some hip hop in there. I said, I knew this guy who does his own rap thing. And I mean, Brian's BS raps is very rock influenced. I think he would agree with that. So I think it works really well with his rap style. So we brought him in, and then we found Darren on the bass. We just picked him up off the street. He was on the corner with a bass and a cup.
I was doing better off then too, right?
He was making way more money. Yeah. We kind of fucked him over, but.
So here's a little weird tidbit. So Smalley, who we talked about before, so Smalley was the bass player in my old band before Todd was the bass player too, which is like
right in
small world.
The name of that band again?
Dome.
I was gonna say Drone for a second, but yeah, no, Dome.
Drone would have been good. Yeah,
Smalley, the Explorer bass, right?
What's that?
You have the Explorer bass.
Or no.
No, can't remember.
Smalley was always like background vocal screaming. He was doing all the screams in the background. It was great.
Oh shit, that's what Darren does too.
Yeah, and then we had shared the same drummer as well, which is just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's very weird how like the Winnipeg music scene is just so like one degree of separation all the time. We have two degrees of separation.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty crazy. Alex has talked about his prior bands too before joining ATA, and they're like, oh shit, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Brian was kind of doing his own thing. Like, Brian, were you performing or what were you doing?
Right before COVID hit, I started I've been messing around with beat making and not so much rhyme writing, but production of hip hop since I was like in high school, just playing with it here and there. And then one day I decided I'm going to invest and get some like serious equipment. I bought some drum pads and some production equipment, and I started making producing my own beats under the name BS Raps. And then I decided one day I got to get some rhymes on these beats, but I didn't want to throw out just any rapper on there. I'm a really like critical person. And I'm like, the only person that could do these beats justice is myself. And so I started writing rhymes to my stuff. And then, I don't know, it just kind of came together. What my goal when I make my raps under BS Raps, my goal is to capture a Winnipeg sound. I find there's a lot of artists in Winnipeg that are trying to make sounds from, like, especially when it comes to hip hop, they're trying to capture a sound from another like city, like they're trying to make like that Dirty South sound.
Yep.
Or they're trying to make that West Coast sound, but it's like, you're from Winnipeg, man. We gotta pave our own lane, you know? So we're a blues city, we're a rock and roll city. And I sample a lot of stuff that you wouldn't usually hear in hip hop. So it works well with the group because it translates right over to our rock and roll style. I've always wanted to do like a live band style, kind of like, you know, like Rage Against the Machine or the groups of like, there hasn't been like a good mainstream band doing that style in a long time. And I think it's right for the taking. I think we're doing the right, we got something special going here. I really feel it, man. And it's just pure entry.
Yeah. What about you, Darren? So other than working on the corner with a little cup there, was there any other musical experience you had, or did you like come formed out of the box?
Actually, I've played in a few other bands growing up, and I'm 46 years old, right? So it's I got a little bit of background, but nothing recent really. But I never really played the bass, right? I always like play guitar and whatever. But I was in a band in like my 20s, Orchid Daddy. We played the Winnipeg circuit for a bit. I was singing in that band. It was more like an alternative type, medley grunge type thing, because I was, you know, the thing back then, right? Like grunge was huge, right? Went out to Calgary and started a metal band, but you know, metal in Calgary, right? Came back here, started doing some cover stuff that never really materialized. And then I was actually in a band with Alex as well, because he's in like 5,000 different bands. And, you know, he's like, hey, man, you ever play the bass? I'm like, well, yeah, my bass, man. Like, well, why don't you try this out, right?
Which band was that?
We called ourselves the Penetrators.
The Penetrators?
The Penetrators, but yeah, say it fast and it's the Penetrators. For sure. Just play on words, right? But yeah, we did a couple, like I was starting to write some original music there too, but it was mainly just like get out every once in a while, do some covers and just have some fun, right? Get in the room, play some music, right?
Nice.
But so yeah, that's been like, yeah, that's kind of it for me. Like I did an Alice in Chains thing back in the day too. That was fun.
I love Alice in Chains.
Yeah, the same.
Who does?
actually, we just added two of their songs in our set list.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
In my opinion, there's no argument about like best band out of that grunge era. It's by far Alice in Chains.
Agreed, 100%.
And but there's the crazy thing is they're still around. They're still doing. They still sound great.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
That new singer they have is actually really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I seen them at the Burt, and they were good. But I wish I would have seen Lane Staley. You know.
Oh, I mean, yeah. No one can really hold a candle to Lane, but I still think they made it work going on with a new vocalist, which is really hard to do, especially when you have that iconic of a singer.
Yep.
Right.
And they made some really good music after that too, right?
Rainier Fog was, I think that was the album that got a lot of play for me. Like, I just was like, this is it. I expected it to be shit, to be honest, because how often does a band sound good like 20 years later, period, even with the original lineup? Motley Crue. and not using pre-recorded tracks and all that sort of stuff, and they're a real rock band still.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they're still making music, right?
I think what happened with Alice in Chains is, I mean, we all know how great Lane Staley is or was, but Jerry Cantrell was still such a huge, huge part of that band that, I mean, that's the only way it could work with losing a singer like that, is with having Jerry Cantrell be such a driving force behind that band still. It would still work if he found, the right vocalist to step in. You talked about Rainier Fog. Did you ever listen to the one before that? The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here?
Yeah, a bit, not as much. I do, like, I actually bought the album. I do have it.
Because I listened to that album, and it was okay. It definitely had some good songs on it, but the album as a whole, like, it wasn't, every song is a great song. Would you say, in your opinion, is Rainier Fog better?
I think, I don't know. I think it hit me better. Like, the timing of it was really good, because I was listening to that kind of stuff at the time. So when Rainier Fog came out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this a spin. I just got in a streaming service, so I was listening on there, and then I just went and bought the album afterwards, because I don't know, it just hit me. Like, just...
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, does it hold up? Probably. I don't know. I
I'll have to check that one out. I know when it came out, I gave it a listen. I don't know if I even listened to the whole thing, but I might have to try it again.
It was one that required like 3 or 4 listens through, and then on the 4th listen, then you're really catching things. Like you, there's you're picking out like maybe a drum pattern or whatever. Like, there's just different things. Every listen, it just got better and better and better. It wasn't one of those like QX103 where the song is catchy as hell immediately right out of the gate, and the second time you're already getting bored of it, and the third time it's dry.
I think that's what Devil Put Dinosaurs Here had with, like, what was it, Voices? That Voices song, it was really catchy. You listened to it, it was a radio single. It was played quite a bit, but you hear it today, 6-7 years later, and you're like,
yeah,
it was all right.
Your Fog had definitely more staying power for me.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Cool.
So if you guys know, you guys know what gas is, right?
Do we know what gas is?
Yeah, gear acquisition syndrome, I think is what the term is. No? Okay. So how many guitars, basses do you guys have?
I have one electric guitar and 2 acoustic guitars. I've had a few electrics over the years, but they've never stuck around. I mean, when I was doing Awaiting the Answer, I was just doing vocals, so I didn't even bother buying electric guitars. Whenever I wanted to play, I just played on my acoustics. I have a very, very low gas, would you call it?
So you're not a hoarder?
I'm not a hoarder. I definitely want 1 or 2 more guitars, but I'm the kind of guy that when I get a guitar, I'm going to probably hang on to it for a while.
Not like
now,
God's wall there. Jesus Christ.
I can see you got quite a few up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A few. I'm a bass player, so you can sell like guitars.
Yeah, man. I got the same syndrome. I need Gas X, man. Like, it's.
Yes.
I was just trying to count in my head because I don't even know. But yeah.
And how many of them are Deans?
All of them. No,
all of them. One Gibson and 13 Deans.
No, I got 2 Gibsons. I got an SG and I got a Les Paul. But I got, yeah, I got an accumulation of Deans just because, I don't know, man, I just seem to buy them because they're great deals at the time. And they don't sound bad, man.
And it's another guitar you can just add to your collection, just like
that. Right? Like, I got the Dave Mustaine's like signature Flying V, and I mean, I drop it down to drop C, and I love it. I just, it fucking plays like butter.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Alex, how many mics do you have, Alex? do you buy different mics?
He said he bought a bunch of gear. So let's okay. we got to hear what Yeti on the mic has to say.
I got a whole collection of instruments in my house, man. I got like a museum of instruments in my house. I got a guitar. I can't play guitar, but I got a guitar. I got a keyboard. I got a didgeridoo. I got.
You got to work that.
I got two didgeridoos. I got like a whole suite of instruments in here. I got two amazing drum pads I love to use. Synthesizers. It's a whole ball game of fun up in here. I got a bunch of toys to play with. You got to have a couple toys to play with, you know.
Dude, that's the shit I'm into. I've got a lot of peripherals in my I really like my digital drum kit like a lot. And it's not cool to play digital drums, but I don't give a fuck. Like the shit I can do with it, it's amazing. Like I have a real kit, like my Pearl, which I love, but with the digital kit, I'm always fucking around with like the space sounds and
yeah,
weird, like there's like some good reggae, good thrash sounds in there too. And
yes,
I'm always fucking around with it. It's fun. The kids come down and play too, and they're like, put the thrash on, Dad. Thrash on, and they're just wailing nice. On there. It's awesome.
Anything your imagination can muster, you just slap it on there.
Yeah, and you can build your own kit. So I can take like one pad, and I can put the laser shooting, and I can put that in with a classic 70s drum kit. So I can have like one laser effect on my 70s drum kit, or I don't know. It's pretty cool.
It's like a guitar player's version of pedals.
It totally is, yeah.
But with drums.
Yeah, and it's right. I probably shouldn't share this out loud because I work with Brian, but it's right next to my work desk, because I work from home. So if I'm working and somebody if somebody like pissed me off, one sec, I just, you know, I move over, smack the beats, go nice. Back, yeah, and put someone on, like I literally put someone on hold, one sec, come back, okay, I'm good now.
Like when Nike put you on hold.
Yeah, sometimes I forget to hit mute though, but anyway.
Forget to hit me. What was that? Oh, no.
Nothing.
Yeah. So what was the first instrument that you guys have all bought? Like, what was your first one that you got and you went, you know what? Music is my thing after I've played this, and that's what I'm going to do.
Guitar for me.
Acoustic? Electric?
I would have started on my dad's old electric. So it wasn't bought, but it was passed down to me. And right. I bought another one shortly after from a pawn shop.
Me too.
Nice. It was called a Slammer by Hamer, Hamer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a piece of shit, but it was awesome.
I got a Lotus. It was called a Lotus. I don't even know. I've never even seen one ever again. At a pawn shop in the States or something like that. And then I had an old amp that I bought off some dude in high school, and it was had no ground wire, so you had to wear your shoes when you played it.
Nice.
Make you dance.
First instrument I ever got was a recorder in grade 5. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe I'll have that one.
Yeah. My parents actually put me in a guitar lessons when I was younger, and I just never could do it. I got like these sausage fingers, they just don't work. And so I don't know, when I got into like listening into hip-hop as I got older, I really always admired like the production that these guys did and the way they would sample these old tracks and make them new again. And I'm like, I want to do that. So I started messing around with like software that you can use on your computer to do that. But until you get the hardware in front of you and you get like, it's just a game changer. Once I bought that hardware and invested, that's when things really started taking off.
Nice. So that was more of the vocal, like PA type of thing, like an old realistic PA with
realistic.
Well, that was back in my day. I see, I'm in my 50s, so I mean, you're talking software. That was nowhere near anything when I started.
Yeah, I know, right? Like a lot of these kids are making this stuff on their laptops these days, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like I was saying, until you have the hardware in front of you, like it just changed the game. Like I have this production suite. It's all packaged up right now, but or I'd show it to you, but it's just like drum pads and it can do everything. I record on it, I mix and master on it, I sample on it.
What software are you using, Brian?
It's called Native Instruments.
Oh, Native, yeah, okay. Yeah,
It's their software suite.
Yeah.
And this whole thing is total in-house, all in one package for production.
Yeah, Todd, you should look at Native. Native's really good. Like there's a like the plugins and shit is
it's amazing.
It's really good. Yeah. I actually use Native Instruments and I import it into Reaper. Like I use the Native stuff in Reaper right now cuz I paid for Reaper.
Right.
And Reaper's, I don't know. That's what we did our album on was using Reaper. Like Todd did all the producing on it and yep. I don't know.
There was a lot of research. It was one of those I was taught by Google, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
did a lot of research and just sampled YouTube. What other people did and YouTube and stuff just to figure out, and just Sean's vocals alone I had to figure out, and I had to put a whole bunch of stuff together to try and and get that all set up properly. And now actually the laptop that I'm on currently is the one that I had recorded it on. But it kind of crapped the bed a little bit with some of the programs. So now I can't even get it to work anymore. So I don't know. I'll have to start off from scratch. Save the web pages of where I was getting all the
everything
settings
saved in there. Like you're
starting
from scratch.
Yeah. So
my laptop's on its last legs, man. I got to get a new one. Especially if we're going to keep performing.
I just dropped mine down the stairs last weekend. So I'm taking it into work and someone at work said they would try to fix it for me, so we'll see.
So what was the first thing that came to mind when it came out of your hands actually going down the stairs?
Well, one was, am I going down the stairs too? Because Todd and I, like our cousin, she fell down the stairs and she was like, was it 9 months recovery from the injury she got? And then that was the first thing going through my head, like, am I going to do the exact same thing? And I was holding the laptop like a pizza.
Sesame Street, the guy was on top with the cakes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah. Nice. 12 banana cream pies.
Yeah.
And I was debating, is it better for me to get injured or the laptop to get injured? And I opted for the laptop, I guess.
So you fell. It wasn't, you dropped it down the stairs. You actually fell down the stairs with a laptop.
I almost did.
Oh, okay.
I decided to catch myself and not hang on to the laptop. And the thing was, and this is total music nerd, but my kids had their piano lesson and I was setting it up on a Zoom call and I had the ukulele in the other hand because my daughter's taking ukulele. My daughter's taking ukulele and the other one's piano. And I was like, the prod pop of my kids are playing music and I was not paying attention. And then one foot went down the stairs and I was like, I didn't even realize I was by the stairs because I was trying to set up a Zoom call on my pizza at the same time. Like, and just, I don't know.
Too much shit going at once, man.
Yeah, exactly. You multitask as a parent. That's for damn sure. Yeah. So I don't know. That's my mixing CD or my mixing laptop too. So,
oh no,
yeah.
So, do you guys mix your own album, like, or do you have it done professionally, or do you guys have like your own kind of thing where you kind of do a demo and then kind of go from there?
We've recorded some jams and stuff with a little interface, and I don't know really what it is, some sort of unit that that the drummer has. So we've set up some mics and recorded some jams just for some demos, basically just so we can all listen back and learn the songs, you know, when we're in the writing process. But we have gotten them recorded, I guess you could call it professionally or semi-professionally. We know a guy called Luke Clement. He's the one who recorded our single, and we're working on an EP with him right now. He's got a home studio, but it's legit. Like, he's got really good gear, and he knows what he's doing.
Well, the single, the first release, like the first single release, like it sounds like the real deal. So
professional, yeah. I mean, this guy, he's gone to school for it. He's worked with other big producers from like actual labels and shit like that. So no, he knows what he's doing for sure, and he's got all the proper gear, and he's really good to work with. He's a bit of pain in the ass when he makes me change my strings every time I got to go track, but whatever.
Oh, he's very particular. That's
yeah.
That's
a good, you gotta thing. Have heavy gauge strings, and you gotta fucking brand new, not one note played on the strings before you start recording. And I'm like, really, man? Like, my guitar was just set up and restrung last week. I've jammed on them twice. He's like, no, we got a new strings. I'm like, fuck.
Wow. That's when you need two guitars.
That's when I need 11 guitars.
You gotta have a fresh pair of underwear on before you hit that vocal.
Sure.
Did you just put those on this morning? No.
Yeah. No, changing into a new wardrobe in the booth after every take.
When we were
that's what I do.
So are you singing in, like, okay, so how is it being tracked? Is it like one track at a time? Drums, bass, and then are you guys doing anything live off the floor at all, or how's that working
for the single? It's all individually individually tracked, starting with, you know, scratch track and drums. Right now we're doing four more songs, so we have all the drums recorded for that. Alex went and hammered those out in a day, and
started one day. Everyone else has to be in the studio for like forever, and the drummer goes in one day. Yeah, that's fine, I got it all.
Well, it probably took him half the day to even tune his drums and set them up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But he really hammered those four tracks out pretty good. I mean, I think it was mostly because the scratch tracks were so on point from me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there you go.
Right. That's it. For take sure. Some credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now we're on to guitars. I went and did one track on Friday evening, but. Yeah, those are going to take a little bit more time, and then move on to, you know, vocals, bass, and Yeti's drums and synth and his rap parts.
So yeah, I was gonna ask about that. So there is an additional there's additional stuff Brian's doing. It's not just the rap. So there's you are bringing your other influences in.
Yeah, he adds whatever samples and stuff in. Tell him about it, Yeti.
100%. I'm really trying to bring like kind of like an electronic sound to the band, and yeah, add some cool hip hop samples, some scratches. What I really want to do is I want to get one of those damn turntables and start scratching. I used to have one of those things, and they're fun as hell.
Oh yeah, they are.
And I think I would like on a live performance, that would just be the bomb.
Yep,
do that and do that in the back of a couple tracks. But yeah, I like adding a lot of synthesizers and some digital guitar on a couple tracks and spacey sounds and even some vocal effects on some tracks, just to mix things up and bring
so how does that work sound with the producer though? Like, are you bringing your samples in? And like, is he sort of like, okay, hang on a sec here. What the fuck are you doing? Like, because you have a bit of a production background, though. Like, right. So if you're bringing samples in and stuff, what's the producer's role in that? Is he like?
We just keep it simple. I let Luke knows what he's doing. I let him do his thing. And I just bring my machine in. I just plug in. I already have an idea of what I want to do on the track, just like. And a guitar player or any other musician, and I just we run the freaking track, and I do my thing, and yeah, lay some synths down. Try to I don't do it like a pre, I don't send it to him pre-recorded because I want to capture still capture kind of like a live
yeah
sound.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I was going with that. I was like, how. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So you're not doing anything that you wouldn't be able to do live. You're not going to add like three or four tracks one on top of the other, and then it's like when you do it live, it's like, well, how am I going to do this?
Yeah. Exactly. No. We try and keep it to stuff we can still replicate live, which is why the machine that he has is great. It just plugs right into the PA system, right? And all you got to do is mess with the levels a little bit, and anything he puts through there just comes through the system, right?
Nice.
Okay, Darren, you're a guitar player. Todd's a guitar player, but Todd has been playing bass in the last two bands he's in. He's been playing bass, but he's not a bass player. So same thing with you. So what's your approach on the song from a guitar player's perspective? Like how are you approaching it? Are you, what are you doing?
I mean, I don't know. I just kind of winging it, man. You know, like I don't know, I listen to the track like over and over again and just trying to figure out something. I like to put a little couple fills in there too, try to funk it up or whatever. But I just joined these guys in what, November, December. So it's all pretty fresh for me. So but you know, like I did what I did with the tunes they already had, and now we're gonna start making some new ones, and I can probably, you know, like you get that feel in the jam room, and I don't know, man, you just flow with it, man. I don't know any like technical, like I've never taken guitar lessons, I've always gone by ear, I've always just kind of went by the feels, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of taking the same approach with this, right? Like just feel it out, and man, just yeah, whatever sounds good to my ear, man.
Nice.
I think. Right. Does anybody here read music?
Not I.
I do not.
Yeah.
I'm the only one. I don't even play a fucking guitar, and I read music.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm an ear player too, I guess you could call it.
Does Tab?
Well, Tab just kind of helps you along to figure out the song.
I don't think Tab counts. No.
both my daughters, they switched from Tab to reading music.
Like sheet music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're already like, this is going to sadden everybody, but they're already writing their own music, and it's way better than anything any of us have ever put together, like the five of us. Like any music that any of us have written on our own, the kids are way better than all of us. They're so fucking talented, honestly. Like you should think of doing a cover of one of their songs in a set. Mr. Pig is awesome is a fantastic song.
Mr. Pig is awesome. Yeah. Nice.
Honestly, she's my oldest daughter, she's writing her own music on piano, you know, with the instructor. Like the instructor's kind of leading and then writing all the notes down for her. But it's like it's just amazing how my 8-year-old is reading sheet music, writing her own music, and daddy's like, shit, I gotta keep up. Like honestly, like her piano playing is way better than mine now. Her sight reading is better than mine, and I'm like, yeah, I gotta step it up.
Piano's awesome, and that's one I've always wanted to be able to play, was piano, but never really stepped into it.
I'm a one hand player. I play with one hand, and then I add the other hand later. I can't play them both at the same time.
Okay.
Well, if you're playing chopsticks.
Yeah, except playing chopsticks, yeah.
Two fingers.
But it's funny. I sneak into the lessons, and I'm, like, paying attention. And then I go home, and I do all the lessons. So, I don't know.
Nice.
It's good. Free lessons for me. So... with your permission, I'd actually like to play the song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want people to hear this, because when I heard this song, this Pure Entry pop up, it popped up on my Facebook feed and stuff like that, and Instagram. And I'm like, okay, what's like, you know, I follow a lot of Winnipeg bands. I'm like, oh, here's another, you know, another Winnipeg band. I'll check it out. I think I didn't even see Dave. All I saw was Brian, and I didn't recognize Brian from work because, well, Brian works in the office and I don't. But but I did meet you that week. I went into the office. You and I were the only ones in the office at like 6 a.m. or whatever the hell it was. But anyway, it popped up and I'm like, listen to it. I'm like, this is good. I didn't realize it was Dave. And I mean, Dave, how many times did we play shows together?
Oh yeah. Quite a few.
Like probably more than, I think Dome played with Awaiting the Answer more than any other band. I think.
Yeah. I think we played, I remember the Pyramid once, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the other venues that we, maybe the Windsor or the Carrick.
The
or something.
Handsome Daughter.
Okay. The Daughter. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we played there a few times.
But that was always good because I'm in love with Smalley. I just think he's just such an amazing personality. And when he went to the other band, I think he was like, hi, Sean. Hi, Mike. No, he just gave me a big hug and I'm like, no hard feelings at all. So it was good. So it was like, so I've always followed Awaiting the Answer because, you know, like it's Smalley, man. Smalley's like, he taught me how to be better on stage because that guy's stage presence is redonkulous.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome up on the stage for sure. I still keep in contact with him. He's still doing well.
Yeah, good. That's good.
I think he's still playing with Hot Taco.
He's still doing Hot Taco?
Yeah, he still does Hot Taco. They play like socials and stuff every now and again.
Nice. Hot Taco is awesome.
Yeah.
Hot Taco is very awesome.
I remember when I saw them at Shannon's do the Raccoons theme song.
No way.
Who does that? Who does that?
Hot Taco is really cool. So the drummer for is Brett for Hot Taco. I think it's still Brett, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So Brett was our original drummer. So it was Smalley and Brett and then me and then Alex.
Nice.
The original lineup. So I loved Brett's drumming. Brett was is a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to play it right now. So I can embarrass the shit out of you. Cause I know when people listen to their own shit, they're like, oh God.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, and I'm also, I'm video recording this. So I might actually post the video with you guys just making faces. If that's cool.
Right on.
Stoic, man.
I'm into it.
So, just before I do that, though, is there any, I know it's a different era, but is there any talk of like trying to put together some sort of video or anything? Like, I know lyric videos are kind of big nowadays, but
we have definitely kicked around a few ideas about videos for not only this track, but a few of our tracks. So it's something we're definitely going to do. We're going to do a music video. Absolutely. If it's going to be for this song, I don't know, but definitely a song in the future will have a video to go along with it.
We have some great ideas for music videos.
I think we're gonna get Brian in a big Yeti costume, and he's gonna be chasing us through the woods.
Oh yeah! And then Darren's gonna have the Viking shit on, and
yeah, there we go.
He's gonna be wielding Mjolnir,
yeah,
or wielding his Megadeth Flying V, maybe.
Maybe for sure.
Maybe one of the deans.
Yeah, another dean. One of the deans.
One of
sure.
the deans that can be wrecked.
I'm definitely not going to use my Gibsons. That's for sure.
The crime.
That was a great song. Who was that?
Well, yeah, the production of that was awesome. Like the recording that he did, just bang on. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were really happy with how it turned out. That's why we're going back to him for four more tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. what was the name of his studio again?
Luke Clement Productions.
Luke Clement Productions. Yeah, kudos to him, man. Like that sounds really good. Like it's really good.
Yeah, he did amazing with it. And like I said, really good guy to work with. So yeah.
Wow.
Oh, we should have a producer on the show at some point. Do you think Luke would do the show?
I don't know. Could always ask him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never know. Would.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would, yeah.
I don't know if he'd give his secrets, but
he's really just getting his studio off the ground, so I'm sure he'd be looking for any way to promote it.
Good, because that's what we like to do on the show. It just promote like some great local talent, regardless of what it is. It doesn't have to be music, it can be producing or artwork or whatever. Like if you know some people we just gotta push out there and say, hey, take a listen to this person.
Yeah, yeah, awesome.
So when you're creating the song, who's writing the other parts? Like, so you're doing the vocals and I could hear the synth, like the stuff in the background that you were doing. Now you wrote that part, but was there other parts written before you wrote that, or did you write that and everyone wrote around that?
Are you talking about the rap or are you talking about the vocal?
Just like the song itself, like when you guys are writing a song, who's the main person just kind of bringing in, or do you guys kind of all collaborate at the beginning, or does someone put an idea out and then everyone collaborates around it?
There's been a few songs that have been kind of just in the jam space messing around and then we come up with something, but when we first got going, I was writing a lot of the stuff at home and bringing it to the jam space. And it would be like, you know, kind of at least an intro and a verse or so, maybe a chorus. And then we kind of get going from there. So I'm usually starting it off with a guitar riff and some vocals. And then we build on that.
I remember the first time I went to the jam with Dave, they just kind of played through a bunch of songs they were working on at the time. And then they sent me the recording to that track. And that was like one of the, I wrote that verse, and it's actually one of the quickest verses probably I've ever written. They don't all go that easy.
But, did Dave have his vocal already, like all the lyrics written for his part? Okay, so you were able to work off of that?
Yes, 100%. And then I...
We're slipping slowly. Yeah, it was all done.
And then I sent them... We were actually supposed to meet up and jam again, but I couldn't wait. I sent them like a little pre-recording I did.
Yeah, yeah. And,
it was a lot of fun, man. Like, it's been really great working with these guys. We got a great group of guys here.
Yeah, the energy's good, and there's a lot of music that comes out of Winnipeg, obviously. So there's a fair amount of it that sounds kind of the same. You know, you get a lot of the Green Day clones, like a lot of bands that sound exactly that way or sound like, but there's something a little bit different here, which is, you know, refreshing. It's not just, it's a rock track, but there's a groove to it too. Like I want to credit Darren, like the bass in this fucking song, like honestly, like the first couple of times I listened to it, I literally moved over to my right, to my drum kit, because I wanted to play along with the bass player. Like, honestly, like it was like,
nice.
It's fucking just like, like I love playing with a good fucking bass player. And when the bass player is holding it down, like you're doing on it, because you're not just playing the fucking bass. Like it's almost like you're playing a melody. I don't like a bass player that's just thump, thump, thump. Like you're doing a lot of stuff in there, which is really good. So just wanted to credit you on that.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, Brian's like, I'm not a huge rap guy, but I like what you're doing on here. Like it's because it reflects, because the lyrics that Dave wrote on this are really good, and they really hit home for me. Like I almost think I know what you're talking about. I probably don't. I probably have no fucking clue. But the experience that you're having lyrically in the song, I've had it with people that you and I both know. And I'm like, holy fuck, like you nailed it. And then that would have been good enough. But then when Brian kicks in with his rap, I'm like, it's like, okay, I'm connecting. But Brian's like, fuck this. No, you're not connecting enough. And then you made me connect even harder. So like it just like really
it's linked. Like an amped up the raps just amps everything up, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Like, yeah, like I don't know. It just somehow it just really worked.
And you hit the nail on the head. I find the best songs, the way to write the best song, I find, is people think they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But they don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, like I think Sean might know what I'm talking about here. I think you might. It sounds like you do. But it is open to interpretation, of course.
No, which is great.
That's how I kind of write all my songs, leave them a little bit more open so that, you know, everyone can connect their own experiences to it. But yeah, it's definitely sounds like you're getting it. And when Brian started writing his rap to it, I was like, fuck, he's getting it too.
I'm like, I was like, wait a minute, did he get... That person did the same thing to him, but it's like, no, it's just Brian's just interpretation was like, he obviously had the same experience, because that's how it comes across, right? Like, but that's the thing. There's a universality to this song, which, you know, it's transcending. So yeah, yeah. Great job, guys. Like,
thank you very much.
A lot.
I'm listening to it a lot, to be honest. Like I've added it to my, my Best of Winnipeg playlist, which I share, which I haven't shared in a long time, but I added it on there, and I like it's on my. I have a playlist called the songs that I want to play on, playlist. So it's been added to there. So it's like my favorite songs of all time that I just like I just jam to them on my kit or sing along to. So it's been added to.
Wow, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Amazing.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So on the guitar and bass, when you guys did your recording, did you guys record on actual amplifiers that were mic'd? Or did you guys go through like a VST, like through software?
through software. I wouldn't say I fought tooth and nail, but I did try and get everything going through an amp, because I had just bought this Godin guitar with a Trainer amp. It's an uber Canadian setup, and it's got this fuzzy grungy tone to it that I love. But you know what, he was able to emulate it almost exact with the software, and that's what Luke said to me.
Luke comes in and goes, Dave, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
pretty much. I'm like, I've never done a track where I haven't been reamped, right?
Yeah.
But he was like, man, with software and plugins nowadays, I can make you sound however the fuck you want. So I'm like, all right, we'll give it a go. And it turned out great.
It had a nice crisp sound to it.
It sounded like it came from an amp for sure. Like it sounded like.
Well, I wanted that old tube amp kind of sound too, some fuzz and some grit to it. And
it's there. It's definitely there.
I think the plugin was called Greasy Fingers.
Yes. Greasy Fingers.
Yeah. that's awesome. All right. Well,
so if there's a band out there who wants to clone your guys' band, just look up Greasy Fingers for Dave's guitar sound.
Yeah. You want that sound? Get the Greasy Fingers.
Yeah. Not Brian's sausage fingers, which he alluded to earlier.
No, go eat a bunch of greasy KFC or something and play guitar, and then it gets you that
filet fish.
Sound. Yeah,
filet fish.
I don't know if you want that grease on there.
Yeah. Hey, so we're going to cap this off. Can you guys give us your social medias? Where can we find you? Where can we listen to the current track and then the future tracks?
Everything is on and like any major streaming service. You can get Slipping Slowly on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, I think is another one.
Yep.
But we use DistroKid, so it puts it out everywhere. YouTube, we do have a YouTube video as well. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, and
Peer.entry. Peer.entry. And then also, if you want to check out more of my hip hop stuff, you can check out BS Raps 204. That's my Instagram. I just put out a new track with this talented kid, Ed Riley. And it's really chill, it's really mellow, total opposite of what Peer Entry were doing. But yeah.
Oh, it's a great tune. I wouldn't say total opposite. We got some mellow shit too.
Yeah, that's true.
Darren, do you got any plugs?
Yeah, just everything what everybody else said, man.
Darren runs our TikTok. So if you want to see Darren eating ice cream in a bathtub at 2 a.m., he puts that shit on TikTok.
I thought that was on his OnlyFans page.
I think I'm going to do a crossover. So all 51 flavors, you know?
Nice. Hey, is that so? I'm curious, Darren. I'm just kind of looking at your setup in the background there. Is that the jam space?
No. This is just my personal space in my own house. The jam space is way bigger than this. It's probably about three times the size of this spot.
It looks so chill and comfy. Like I just want to go in there and jam.
Yeah, man. That's the vibe I want. Right. Yeah. I come in here, just sit down and just, fiddle around and, see what shakes out. Right.
Yeah, my jam space is a bunch of action figures on the wall and comic books and stuff. It's not very conducive.
Whatever floats your boat, man.
That's how you draw inspiration.
That's where I draw my inspiration. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Todd, where do you find us?
You can find us at seanmcginity.ca. That's seanmcginity.ca.
That wasn't very sexy this time.
Oh, I didn't get.
I disagree. That was very sexy.
Was it?
I didn't get close up to the mic.
All social media at Sean Geek Podcast. We've got our whole archive of 7 years worth of episodes. Yes, we're that old. We've been around. We're OG.
Right on.
Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us.
Thanks for having us on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
amazing. No problem.
Fans of the Sean Geek Podcast, this is the Core Geek talking at you. Did you know that the Sean Geek Podcast has merch available? That's right. Head on over to SeanMcGinnity.ca and click the merch link at the top of the page. You'll be taken to the Sean Geek Podcast store on TeePublic, where you can find the Sean Geek Podcast logo on t-shirts, totes, masks, and more. And best of all, a portion of the sales goes to help support the podcast and allow Sean and Todd to keep bringing great content your way. Once again, go to SeanMcGinnity.ca and click the merch link at the top of the page. And while you're there, don't forget to download the latest episode.